countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
Yes, well, that's the sound of the curlew. But this bird with long legs and distinctive curved back beak, of course, is rarely seen nowadays because over the last 30 years, this ground nesting bird has seen a 96% decline in numbers. And as we've been speaking about there earlier this week, we've been hearing a quarter of Ireland's wild bird species are at risk of extinction. Now, in the run-up to World Curlew Day on the 21st of April, Hannah Quinn Mulligan met with Kerry farmer Tim O'Donoghue and the team from the National Parks and Wildlife Service, who run the curlew conservation programme at a former Bord na Mona bog in Liara Crompain in County Kerry, looking for the elusive curlew.
Been out all day looking to see where they see a curlew, and the curlews are gone very, very scarce in this area.
Because I remember growing up as a child on a farm, and I don't think I've ever heard a curlew, but you were saying they were always around when you were a child.
Oh, they were always around when I was a child. I remember finding the first nest. I was 6 years old. I found the first nest. It's only about a mile down the road here from me at the moment, and I can still see the eggs and the way they were. But by God, I tell you now, you would have a job to find a nest now, because you know they're very, very scarce at the moment anyway, you know.
And what do they look like?
Well, they're a wader. The most distinguished things that I can see is the long bill. It's a long bill, and you have the male and the female. The female is the female will be much bigger than the male, and the curlew sound, of course, you know, they kind of, you know, like that call like that, and you could a beautiful call, and something that we miss from the mountainside. It's an awful pity, like, you know, that we have that it's more or less gone from the mountainside, because they were so nice to hear, and unfortunately there are so many things with predators in between foxes and badgers, and you know, you have grey crows, which will, you know, hooded crows, which will take the eggs as well, and you know, there's fire in, of course, and the fire is the killer of all species, you know, because when a fire, somebody cracks a match, and especially in the evening, you know, they'll crack it late in the evening, and it has burned acres of mountain, and then it burns all types of habit, all types of bird life, made of pipits, skylarks, you know, hen harrier nests, you know, because they nest on the ground as well, and of course the curlew.
And your land that you're farming now at the minute, that's involved in this curlew conservation project that's run by the National Parks and Wildlife Service. I mean, what do you have to do for that as part
of
that scheme?
Well, a part of it would be to put out a certain amount of lime, and then I suppose, you know, there's a certain amount of rushes that, you know, that you could cut, not them all, you know, because they can feed in between them. But you see, the thing about it is that, you know, they're getting so scarce now, it is nearly impossible. I know the department have put, and Barry has put an awful big effort into the Huber. And, you know, we're only hoping, and, you know, hoping against hope that we'll get them back here again, you know.
And you mentioned there Barry and Huber, and we're lucky to have them both here in the bog with us from the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Barry O'Donoghue, you're passionate about the curlew as well and this conservation project.
You know, I was watching the Jack Charlton piece there recently, and, you know, thinking back to Packy Bonner saving that penalty in Genoa, and I think it was the 25th of June in 1990. That day, outside our windows, when we were all watching the television, there was about 5,000 pairs of curlew breeding in Ireland. And today we're looking at just no more than 150 pairs. So you're looking at about a 96% decline in about 30 years, which is astronomical. It's absolutely crazy. It's like if the entire human population of Ireland disappeared and all that was left were those people that were living in Cork City. And as you can imagine, as a Kerry man, that's an appalling vista. So, in all seriousness, we're looking at a drastic situation with the birds.
Part of that conservation project, there's another man we should say here in the Bord na Mona bog with us, and that's Hubert Sauvignon.
So I'm currently the Curlew Conservation Programme Project Manager. Across Ireland, we're covering 9 different areas. Some areas have 2 or 3 counties bordering them, you know, like in the Orkneys, where you're bordering Clare and Galway, or Lochry, which borders Roscommon, Westmeath,
And if this was a GAA match, what are the tables like? Who's in the lead and who's falling behind?
The lead is very much the people that are on islands. Curlew actually stands a chance on islands because the predation.
Yeah. And it's an interesting part of Kerry that you find yourself in, because I heard that it's a John B. Keane country as well. Are you familiar with John B. Keane?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm actually married locally. I've lived here.
Harrier there.
Oh, there's a hen harrier there as we going across, gliding across as we speak.
Oh, wow. I've never seen a hen harrier before.
Oh, well.
In real life, no.
Hen harriers and melipipeds and...
He's so elegant. Like, he's this beautiful sort of dusky grey with these black wingtips.
It's like they're floating along some invisible stream.
I'm from the county next door and I've never seen a hen harrier in my life, and I've never seen a curlew in my life. So is that part of the reason, Barry, why this part of the world is so important?
It is, yeah. It's actually protected as a special protection area as well. It's of European importance. And, you know, like you say, we're just after seeing the hen harrier. And the reason why we love the hen harrier is not just in himself, or not just because of his sky dance or the food passes is spectacular, but more so that he's actually an indicator species. He'd be at the top of the food chain here. So, you know, if you've got hen harriers, that's an indication that you've got the different trophic levels, the different levels of the food web beneath him as well, like, you know. So, yeah, he's an indicator for the overall health of the landscape and the ecosystem and biodiversity at large here. So it's great that we still have hen harriers hanging on here in this landscape. It is, yeah.
I think it happened when we invoked the name John B. Keane. So someone or something must have been listening. But you were saying, actually, that we're not too far away from the field that inspired John B. Keane's famous play of the same name.
That's right, yeah. There was a murder, I think it was back in the 1950s, and of course back in Ireland back in that day, that was an absolutely massive national story. And you know, John B. Keane would have spent all of his summers out here in Lyrecompan and Stax Mountains, and it's where he would have got his inspiration for a lot of his work. And you know, that play The Field, which went on to become the great film as well, would have been inspired by real life events here, where there was a man killed over land. And you know, it was over the fact that one neighbor had moved in the fence maybe only a few feet in on the other man's land. And you know, you're talking about really kind of wet, rushy mountain ground that wasn't worth a whole lot, but nonetheless, of course, we all know that land and land ownership, you know, runs really deep here in Ireland. But you fast forward maybe 50 or 60 years now to today, and that field is now under Sitka spruce forestry. You know, it's been planted. There's nobody managing it. It's all gone. And I suppose that to me is kind of the moral of the story, that, you know, we're all just passing through in this world, really, like, you know. And the land, you know, we need to look after it and what it holds, and whether that be the curlew or the grouse or the hen harrier or whatever. They're all birds that shared our landscape with our grandparents, and you know, something that is part of Ireland that is diminishing and disappearing before our very eyes, you know.
So there'll never be a curlew on the field?
No, curlew don't fit in with the spruce forestry whatsoever. And in fact, not just alone with the immediate footprint of the forestry, but even, you know, for a kilometre or more around that forestry, it can have negative impacts in terms of its potential for predation. You know, if you're a ground nesting bird and nesting close to a forestry plantation, you're infinitely more likely to be predated, your nest. You know, the eggs could be taken or the chicks could be taken.
You know, we have another common agricultural policy coming up where there's lots of talk about more individualised schemes for local areas. Are you hoping that there's going to be more money set aside for the curlew and other conservation projects?
If you've got a locally laid programme with teams on the ground working hand in hand with the farmers, advising the agri advisors as well, you know, working on a needs must basis in terms of not just having a one size fits all approach, but, you know, getting down on the ground, working with the farmers, saying, look, this is what needs to happen in this field. In this field, you know, that's okay, you don't need to do much there. Or in this field, look, they're actually nesting in this field, maybe we'll hold off on cutting the silage a little bit later or whatever. You know, getting down onto site specific, I think that's really a very positive way to approach agri-environment schemes, like, you know. And I think the farmers appreciate that too, because it's more appropriate for their land and it makes sense as well, like, you know.
And Tim, you had your binoculars there. I'm going to pull you away from the hen harrier for a minute. I mean, what would it mean to you if you looked out and were able to see a curlew just the way we saw a hen harrier?
Oh my God, it mean an awful lot, you know, because if they're gone out of here, they're gone out of here and they won't be back in a hurry. But I think that there's a change in attitude now, a huge change in attitude with the farmers, a younger generation which are more educated and are more interested in the environment. And we had plenty of hen harriers, you know, over the years. I remember we had up to 18 pairs around here at one stage. Now you'll be lucky if we had 4 or 5 pairs. But yet we have a lot more hen harriers than we have curlew. And, you know, you'd be only hoping that the curlew would return. You know, it would make a big difference to all of us, you know.
Hannah Quinn Mulligan talking there about the curlew in Laragh Cromhain in County Kerry.